In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And good morning, my dear brothers and sisters.
Good morning, Father.
It's the first Sunday of this month, and it's the first Sunday of Lent. We have just heard first lines of the hymn, led by the Spirit. The Gospel begins with the invitation to each and every one of us, as Jesus was led by the Spirit in the desert. So we are also being led by the Spirit of our God and continue our journey into this Lenten season. This season has been called a holy season. Why? Because God is not resting. He is looking, searching everywhere to find ways so that man, each and every one of us, may receive back to ourselves the holiness of His. So let us attentively prepare ourselves to hear God's word as it has been read and spoken to us in and through the homily. May those words be a guidance for each and every one of us as we continue our journey in this Lenten season. But to prepare ourselves for this liturgy, let us first of all ask God's forgiveness, so that in and through our true heart of repentfulness, may God enable to let go and forgive all of our sins. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and continue to lead us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Let us pray. Grant Almighty God, through the yearly observance of Holy Lent, that we may grow in understanding of the riches hidden in Christ, and by worthy conduct pursue their efforts, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards, he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to a holy city and made him stand on a parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Today we celebrate the first Sunday of Lent, and we enter our Lenten journey with beautiful scripture passages provided to us today. In these readings, we learn about the power of temptation, about the destruction of our right relationship with God through our sin, and the glory of redemption. As we embark upon this 40-day spiritual journey and draw closer in our relationship with Jesus, we will undoubtedly be tempted and tested more than perhaps ever before. I remember growing up, one of my favorite things to do was to go fishing with my dad and my older brother. I was about 10 years old, and we would get up before dawn and we would drive out to our favorite mountain, and we'd hike into the stream to our greatest fishing hole, and we'd spend the day catching our limit. My brother was a much better fisherman than I. He had great patience. He could sit on the bank of a stream for hours and let his bait rest at the bottom of the stream and wait for those fish to come. I needed more action. I love to fish with lures. They're different. They're shiny. They're bent. They're made out of different materials, and they seem attractive, and the movement they have in the water is a lot of fun. And if after a few casts, if you don't catch anything, you just switch one out and keep on moving down the stream. Well, it was the summer of 1976, and my family got one of those above ground pools. Do you remember? It had these plastic liners at the bottom, and to my family, it was a means of cooling off in the San Fernando Valley summer. But to me, it became my own personal, private lure testing facility. I remember one day my brother and I were casting into the pool and checking out the action on the lures, and Dad came home and said, "What do you boys think you're doing?" I said, "Dad, we're just having fun. We're practicing our casting and seeing what these lures are going to do." He says, "Don't you know that if that hook should fall to the bottom and catches it, it'll poke a hole in it, and it might even tear a hole. And if that's the case, you're going to lose a lot of water, and we're going to have a big mess on our hands." So I said, "Okay, Dad." So we packed up our poles and put them in the garage, and that was it for a couple of weeks. I remember the day vividly. Dad was at work. Everyone was gone. I was by myself, and so was that fishing pole. And I heard this voice in me say, "Hey, Dan, you know, now's a good time to test out that new lure. I mean, Dad doesn't know your skills. You're not going to let that lure fall to the bottom. And that liner's a lot thicker than Dad thinks it is. So go ahead, have some fun." I listened to the voice. And sure enough, that first cast, it banged off the back of that pool, sunk right down on the bottom. And in my panic, I pulled it back and I tore a hole in that liner. Just as Dad said I would. And I remember as every hour passed waiting for Dad to come home, that water level got lower and lower and lower. And I realized at that moment, my eyes were opened and I knew that I disobeyed my father. And then when he came home, he said something I'll never forget. But I'll get to that in a minute. In our first reading today, we hear the story of Adam and Eve. And Eve is tempted by the serpent. And she hears these wonderful arguments. You know, the tree is beautiful, it's pleasing to the eye. Surely the fruit is good for you. It will make you wise. You'll know the difference between good and evil. And surely God won't put you to death for that. So they bought into the lie. And when they ate from the tree of knowledge, their eyes were awoken and they realized that they had sinned and that they had caused a hole in their relationship with God. But in our second reading today, St. Paul gives us reason for hope. He connects the first reading and our gospel message when he writes, "Through the disobedience of one man, Adam, the many were made sinners. Through the obedience of one man, Jesus, the many were made righteous." Which brings us to the good news of our gospel. The first line of the gospel, Matthew tells us that Jesus was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil. I don't know about you, when I first read that, I thought, that doesn't sound right. How could Jesus be led into the desert to be tempted by the Holy Spirit? But all of us are tempted and tested. And we know that Jesus is not only fully divine, but he's also fully human. And we also know that those who love us, our teachers and our parents, often want to see how much we've learned and will provide a test for us. But Jesus gives us the answer. He doesn't buy into the lies of the devil. In fact, he rebukes him. He turns away from him and turns towards God. Because he knows that God is the answer. And it is through Jesus' act that we're reconciled. The hole has been mended. When my dad came home that day, I remember I was a wreck. My eyes were filled with tears and my head was down, and I told him that I disobeyed him and that I had caused damage not only to the pool but to our relationship. And what my dad did, I'll never forget. He put his arm around me and he said, "Son, we have a job to do." And together we patched the hole in the bottom of that pool. And he never spoke of it again. We put it behind us, but I learned from it. Then again, the old man did tie a 20-pound weight around my waist and throw me to the bottom of the pool so that I wouldn't sink and I could fix that patch. But the message I'd like to convey to you is, during this 40-day Lenten journey of deepening our relationship with Christ, there are going to be times that we may give in to temptation, and we feel that coming on, we need to follow Jesus' example and turn to God. But if we should fall, we have a beautiful sacrament in this church called the Sacrament of Reconciliation, where we can go to the priest in persona Christi and ask for forgiveness. Ours is a good and loving God whose mercy is abundant, who is waiting for us as a good father for us to come home, to admit our mistake, and together repair the hole that we have caused.
May bountiful blessings, O Lord, we pray, come down upon your people, that hope may grow in tribulation, virtue in strength in temptation, and eternal redemption to be assured. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Amen.
And may the blessings of Almighty God be with you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Mass is ended. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life.
Thanks be to God.